Shireman. St. Helena, California, September 12, 1908. Dear Brother Shireman, in the night season, I was conversing with you and speaking words of encouragement. The Lord our God is merciful. When his servants make mistakes, he sends them reproof. When the messages of reproof are received and accepted by those who have made mistakes, and changes are made in the life, the brethren should recognize the Reformation, and they should encourage and seek to place on vantage ground those struggling to do right. I rejoice this is the way you feel towards Brother Johnson. The Lord is now to be honored by the men who carry his work. Let there be a just recognition of the change in Brother Johnson. To neglect to do this, and to refuse to encourage and to build up the one who has been seeking to correct his course of action, is to refuse to carry out principles that Christ has clearly laid down in his word. I am instructed to say to you that mistakes were made on both sides of this question. Brother and Sister Shireman did not view everything in a correct light. While Brother Johnson did not take a right course, it is also true that others connected with him did not discern that their own spirit and words were also wrong. Brother Johnson should now have encouragement. When a man of his temperament sees and acknowledges his wrong and changes his course of action, there should be a disposition on the part of his brethren and sisters not only to forgive, but to do everything possible to restore confidence and to strengthen his hands. The impression should never be left on a human mind that the man who has done wrong, though he sees and corrects his wrong, should still be prevented from standing on vantage ground with his brethren. When such a course is pursued toward any erring soul, the Savior is misrepresented. Those who recognize the Reformation should show forgiveness and treat the brother who has erred with confidence and special kindness. This instruction has been given me during the night, and now, at 1 o'clock in the morning, I am writing to you the message I have received. We need to encourage the erring to confess their wrongs. We should forgive them freely, recognizing the instruction God has given in His Word. We need to be very careful that we do not view in a wrong light matters connected with the work of God. We need to guard against the least injustice. Those who bear the burden of the work of winning souls to Christ are to be encouraged and helped. The Lord requires that unity exist in every church, but the policy of consolidation must be guarded against. The workers in our institutions are to preserve their individuality. Each is to sense the responsibility resting upon him, while he works under the divine leadership of the Lord Jesus. The workers are to counsel together and to seek to bring in ideas that are in harmony with the teachings of truth. But never, as long as time shall last, is an arbitrary, man-ruling power to come in to take the place and authority of God. The Lord has been instructing us to move forward. Shall we go forward? Or shall we stand still? Shall we not seek to increase in faith, that we may work and wait in assurance and confidence? The Word of God is to be our guide under all circumstances. We read in the 18th chapter of Ezekiel, "The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, What mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if a man be just, and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, and hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment. He that hath not given forth upon usury, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed his judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes, and hath kept my judgments to deal truly. He is just, he shall surely live, saith the Lord. Verses 1 to 9. Study also the 20th chapter of Ezekiel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day when I chose Israel, and lifted up mine hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up mine hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God, in the day that I lifted up mine hand unto them, to bring them forth out of the land of Egypt, unto a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all nations and lands. Then said I unto them, cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me, and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them, to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them, in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt, and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes, and shewed them my judgments, which, if a man do, he shall even live in them. Moreover also I gave them my Sabbaths, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which, if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them in the wilderness, to consume them. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, in whose sight I brought them out. Yet also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, because they despised my judgments, and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. Nevertheless, mine eyes spared them from destroying them, neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. But I said unto their children in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with your idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them, and hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. Verses 5 to 20. Here the word of God plainly specifies the day that should be kept holy, the seventh day, and yet we see a work being carried on by ministers, physicians, lawyers, and rulers that will result in the enforcing of a Sunday law. Will not God punish for this rebellion? He will surely punish, as is represented in the words that I have copied.